stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Reports and communications, superintendent's update.
Okay, are we being recorded now? What I'm going to read is not really necessarily for here, it's for the recording, okay? Good evening, members of the board, staff, and members of the Wheatland community. I want to take some time tonight to address the recent anonymous claims that have been circulated in our community by way of letters and postings throughout the town, and an anonymous set of individuals who, for some reasons unknown, seem intent on discrediting the integrity of this district, its board, and its leadership, including me, the superintendent. These communications are filled with inaccuracies, half-truths, and misleading assumptions, the kind of rhetoric that risks creating confusion and mistrust amongst our community where none should exist. Our responsibility as district leaders, as well as, or, and always will be, to ensure the truth, transparency, and accountability guide every decision that we make. We will not allow rumor, resentment, or personal agendas to distort the facts or the district from its mission. So I'm going to set the record straight. Let's be clear. These statements being spread by this group are completely out of line and deeply misleading. They have tossed around numbers, rumors, and insinuations as if they tell the full story. They do not. It's evident that they do not understand what truly takes to operate and sustain a public school district, both legally and responsibility. To the anonymous group, when you accuse me, please use my name. Don't refer to me as this man, as you have been in your recent communications. When you accuse me of selfishness, corruption, and cruelty, it shows how little you understand about the work that's being done and the community that we serve. You actually stoop to calling me not a good man and not a kind man. I will simply say this. I believe most of the people who live, work, and learn in this district would strongly disagree with you. Your words are meant to be hurtful, but they truly reveal is a lack of decency, a lack of respect, and a lack of understanding on your part. I will always deal with the attacks on me with professionalism, but when you try to get to me through my family and my friends, I will draw the line in the sand. To everyone here tonight, our teachers, staff, families, and community partners, I thank you for continuing to see through the noise and focus on what matters, our students, our schools, and our shared future. We will continue to operate with transparency, integrity, and pride. The facility project, which is at the centerpiece of this current accusation, was not about personal wants or favors. It was about compliance, safety, and long-term planning. At this point, I'm going to share a share a slideshow of the facility and questions, and then I'll come back to a few other things. The walls in the bathroom were deteriorating and had
participating in the after-school programs, and without the update, those facilities would not have been accessible to our student use. Every single expenditure in this district is vetted, budgeted, approved, and compliant with state law and board policy. McDonald Construction did this job for far less cost than it would have cost of any other companies because he is a Wheatland grad and is generous to this community. The cost of the bathroom remodel was well below the average of any remodeling done in this district. The anonymous group has filed complaints on this project as they did in the previous Wheatland pipe repair, and we will answer those complaints accordingly. The cost of time and the attorneys to respond, which is money taken away from districts and students. School district budgets are not like your home budget. You do not get to use money that is used for facilities and maintenance to buy supplies for students. Totally separate funding, as you all know. We require to spend at least 3% of our budget on routine maintenance. Our students fundraise for extras like field trips. They do not fundraise for essentials, and our students do not go without. This has been said numerous times that our students go without without never giving us a specific of what they go without. They do not. I'm including some pictures of the process for your viewing pleasure. Unfortunately, those who will listen to this recording later will not see the pictures, but they can certainly reach out to me if they would like to. So this is what the bathroom looked like before we replaced it. You guys see that? This is after some of the, now if I go back to this, that was not work being done. That's how it looked. We had a leak underneath the flooring, so it was buckling up the flooring. This is after the floor started to get cleared out. This is what it looked like on the outside. You can see the bathroom is right there. That's when they had to come out to wash their hands. This is the side look where the door, you can see it's offline and it's down at the bottom. You can actually see through it. This is from the shop view over, and so there's the bathroom, and then there was some storage next to the bathroom. This is where we had significant issues with sewage leaking. You can see this pipe here, that one's been removed, and it goes all the way back here. And our maintenance guys repeatedly fixed that, and they did the best they could because, you know, they only have so much time. But it was an ongoing issue. So this is what it looked like after it was replaced. You can see now that it's all brand new and we don't have any issues. This is what we had an estimate on, and it was close to $10,000 just to do that part, which we did not have to pay because we did it during the remodel. This is when it started to get framed up, so the old bathroom is out, and we decided to make two bathrooms, a men's and a women's bathroom, along with a storage area. So that's just framing. There's more framing, and then when the wood, I don't even know what you call it, wood boards went on the side. And then this is starting to take shape. This is, I believe this is the women's bathroom with the sink inside and the toilet and tile on the floor, not linoleum. This is the men's bathroom. Again, same tile, same setup. This is just showing you the sink was inside as well as paper towels. Before, they had a sink outside, no paper towels, so they had to find something to wipe their hands off with. This is what it looks like from the outside now. That is the shop sink, so that replaced the old sink, but it's not necessary for the bathrooms. It's for when Tim is needing to wash his hands or whatever with the buses. Again, a picture of the whole view of it. This is from the shop looking over, so men's, women's, storage. And last, this is it, at the end of the completion, men's, women's, and the door is now on the storage. This was used up top, they used extra heavy lumber so that they can stack things on top for storage. These are some of the comments that came to me today because they heard I was going to be talking about this. So this letter was written by the Director of Transportation, Anita Burns, and all the staff, all bus drivers, maintenance crew, and grounds were talked to about. I don't know if they were all talked to, but they all signed on. On behalf of the Transportation and Maintenance and Grounds Department, the old bathroom, one bathroom, was not suitable for the nine men who work in these departments, not to mention the delivery drivers who needed to use the facilities as well. It was maybe a 3x3 room with no sink and very little room to even turn around. Our sink was on the outside of the bathroom of the shop. The plumbing was so old that it would plug up a few times a week, and we would have to snake it out or call a plumbing company, which was not cheap. It was leaking under the floor, causing bacteria to grow and smelled horrible. This was time-consuming and a waste of cost to the district. Our maintenance personnel have many important things to do, like keeping schools nice and safe and keeping the environment for students and families in our community. The little bathroom has served its time, 50 plus years, and needed to be gone. It was gross and disgusting, as you can see from the pictures. We kept it clean as best we could, but it was time to go. Thank you, Craig, for looking out for the interests of the well-being of the staff that so faithfully show up to work to serve this community with their talents, they are extremely grateful for their new restrooms. And then I got a couple of text messages today from other staff in that department. Thank you again, the bathrooms are beautiful, we love them. They will be here long after I am gone, after many of us are gone. But those of us who were here to experience the old bathroom are extremely grateful. Us girls are extremely grateful. This is why we keep our side clean. Our bathrooms have even been used by the Wheatland Elementary when they had water problems. It was so great that our bathrooms were there. The preschool also uses it when they have problems. They all just come over and use them. The bathrooms are just serving the district, not just the 5 bus drivers. Before the new bathrooms were installed, I had to snake the main line 1 to 2 times a week because the old line had concrete in the swoop, whatever the swoop is, which would cause major blockage and sewage would overflow into the shop. Sometimes we had to call plumbing specialists out to clear the lines. Since the new bathrooms and drain have been redone, we have not had to stake the line once. And then somebody else responded to that. Yep, I was thinking the same thing about the bathroom always being broken down. Remember the smell it was atrocious. So this is coming from the people that benefited from you all approving the expenditure of new bathrooms for the shop. So
I hope that you still see it as a good expenditure, and I will remind you again, money that we use on facilities is set for facilities, and they is not set for anything else, so it's not like we could have used that money for any other purpose other than facility use. All right, so now on to some positives. I want to congratulate the students, the families, and the school sites, as attendance is definitely better than it has been for the last few years. I hope this trend continues. Students in school equals more learning happening. I will commend our middle school especially. It is amazing. I would say more than half the students that were missing school last year are coming to school on a regular basis. I think it has to do with maybe finally realizing that school is important, but also the work that these people do and the teachers do to get those kids to come and see that it's important that they're there. So thank you. Red Ribbon Week is coming up soon. Just to respond to this Monday is a holiday Monday is a non-school day for the high school. It is not a non-school day for us. I talked about this last year too. They take some time off in October for whatever reason they want to. So it is not a holiday, and yes, the high school is off, but we are not. Traffic will be less. Trunk or Treat. The district will be participating in the annual Halloween Trunk or Treat event held at the strip mall. Candy donations are accepted here at the district office. It will be on October 30th. The Wheatland Elementary School Harvest Festival is Thursday, October 16th, starting at 4 o'clock. The Lone Tree Harvest Festival is Thursday, October 23rd, starting at 4 o'clock. And if I get any of this wrong, I know you'll correct me. The Bear River has its Halloween dance on the 30th, October 30th. from 5 to 7. And if I said trunk or treat was on the 30th, it's actually on the 31st because the 31st is a Friday. Next year it will be on the 30th.
Ours is at 4:30 on the 23rd.
Okay, 4:30. Thank you. And after school lights out will be Friday, October 17th from 2 to 6. And this week is impact aid collection. Our schools are on top of collecting all of the forms that we need from our families. I'm going to move on to the attendance report, unless you have any questions.
I do.
Okay.
Do you have a Jackie? Do you have a sign up sheet for Jody? I'm sorry. Do you have a sign up sheet for what you guys need for your festival?
I do.
Do you mind sharing it so that we can help?
I'm happy to.
Thank you.
Love it. Thank you.
Sorry.
No problem. Any other questions? I'll move on to the attendance. At the time of the agenda, we had 1,361 students. That is 3 less than we had this time last year, but the same number as the previous report in September. We had 68 students. We have 68 students currently enrolled in the preschool program, which is 25 less than last year, but 3 more than last month. And again, I'll explain it at each one. It's because of the change of age and TK. We have a total of 1,429 with all groups. That's 28 less than we had last year at this time, which 25 of them are preschool, and it's the exact same number that we had last month. It's not the exact same kids. We had some leave and some come. So that's all I have for the report, and I will turn it over to Anna for her report.
As revenue and what has been encumbered and expended. And you what the balances are. So overall, right now, you see positive net balances because we haven't really made the adjustments we're first into them. One of the things that I did notice that you will see is the salary and benefits. Those, you see a lot of negative lines because a lot of stuff has happened in those salaries. And I'll show you what we're doing in the next slide. Here is Fund 12. This is the Child Development Fund. And the same thing, what you adopted, what has been revised, and what's still being revised. The revenue that has come in to date, encumbrances and expenditures. And all of these funds have the same, have a similarity, in which the salaries are negative because we still have to review and adjust. This is page 2 of that fund. Fund 13 is the Child Nutrition Fund, and we have the cafeteria fund through there, the state revenue that come in, and we report the meals that the kids eat, reported to the state and federal, and then they reimburse them. So we have the same thing, what you adopted, what has been revised on the second column, the revenue that has come in, and the encumbrance and expenditures. And negatives and positives, but there's still a lot of activity that has to happen. This is the second page. That's just a budgeted line. It's only budgets. They will change as they change. First in them, they will change. What are the next steps? So this is what we're doing next. The auditors are coming in November to audit the unaudited actuals, everything that happened last year. And what they will do is, they will be here on November 4th and 6th. They're going to audit between the 3rd, the whole week of the 3rd, but they'll be present in the district office on the 4th and the 6th. They will verify that we're in compliance with accounting and documentation practices, as well as effective use of funding funds. They do take a look at that, and then they go look at everything that is our job to do an internal audit, which is something that I'm familiar with, that I do, and that I work with the staff on doing self-audits. The 3C is adjusting entries. The auditors will provide adjusting entries wherever that they're needed. We are expecting them to be on the beginning and ending fund balances and cash balances because there are still some discrepancies positive toward the district, but we still have to come to a final amounts. And we're going to bring those, hopefully, at the first interim to show you what those balances truly are.
Can you repeat? Positive towards the district, correct?
Positive towards the district.
Thank you.
And I want to make sure that you understand that, because I did when I started reviewing, and there's still more work to be done, but we're getting there. Number 2, we're showing off the carryover. Some of the, a few of the sites already have some of their carryover, but as soon as the auditors audit the unaudited actuals, we'll be able to roll the rest. And number 3, we continue to evaluate, and this is what I'm doing currently since July 1st, to evaluate and review current internal controls, processes, and procedures in the district office. And I really appreciate the superintendent giving me the go-ahead to do this. It's part of why he hired me. And I'm working with the district office staff, and it's been great working with everyone in the business office, and we're providing training and preparing training for a lot of what the auditors require and for a lot of what best practices are. Working with HR, I'm also doing that, reviewing and updating position control and updating it as needed. Position control, we're getting changes from the sites, changes that people make from positions or sites, and hiring some new staff. So I'm also reviewing that to ensure that the code for each position is properly, is correct, and that the positions are in the right program or site. Recommending a continued review of internal best practices and policies. This is something that also I meet with the superintendent regularly, and we discuss what we need to update as far as policies and what internal controls and best practices. And part of what a CBO does, just like the superintendent and the board, is that we look at these things. I look at them. I work with these things, and I update them. But it's always to ensure that the staff that I'm supervising, that I'm working with, that everyone is protected, and it protects the superintendent and it protects the board of directors. So always.
So we will have this as a regular item every meeting, so you guys can get an update on where things are and what they look like.
Thank you. Okay, communications from the public for items not on the agenda.
Once again, I'd like to thank you guys for the time that you spend. And now the money that you're going to spend with these complaints that we're getting, please add that to the amount of money that we have spent that should be spent on the kids. And it was really interesting. We had some people ask questions from different areas, and I posted one thing on there about volunteering one day, and my post got taken down immediately, and I got a post from Mrs. Capps about how to act and how to speak and how to react to a lot of things. I'd like to know the experience that you have to be telling me how to speak, but I've been involved in the school district for a few years, and I just don't understand why you allow people that are listed as anonymous on your group. They can say whatever they want to say, but if we want anything to say, it's something else. And I also heard someone sitting in here telling us that they liked questions. Well, I did ask questions, and let me tell you what, I wasn't well received for asking questions. And I don't think that asking questions is wrong. Where were these people during COVID when you guys were feeding the kids and you were out there? Where were they? So then I watched TV one night, and oh my God, a leaky water pipe is on Channel 10. Really? Well, I had a broken pipe at my house, and it didn't come out up on Channel 10. Because it wasn't newsworthy. I think that this group needs to stop or be stopped because anonymous should not be allowed at all. If you have something to say, say it with your name. If you don't say it. And I'm just really tired of all the time that they're wasting of all of you. And I appreciate the time that you put up with them.
Thank you. Any other communications from the public? Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Does anybody have any questions regarding the consent agenda? Fantastic. Would you like me to go, do you want to go over them individually, or would you like to do them as a bundle?
I think anybody who had questions has already asked them of Craig, like we always do, because we have them so far in advance that it doesn't take for our meeting for us to go through each of those individually. We ask Craig in advance after we get the board packet if there's any questions or comments or concerns. So I'm fine with putting it all together.
May I get a motion?
So moved.
May I get a second?
We'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Consent agenda passes. Okay, moving on to 5.1, approval of the school site safety plans.
So what I'll tell you here on all of these plans is they're yearly plans that just get updated, but I have asked the principals and Tara, when hers comes up, to talk a little bit about their process, and so we'll start with the safety plans, and we're just going to go in order. Sorry, Andrew, first. So you can just talk a little bit about it.
Into those safety plans.
question because they are so long. So you don't want to be like, hold on, I gotta find it. Let me get to the right section.
There's
so
a created flip chart that the teachers have eliminated in the classes for, you know, the airplane, the hazards. There's buckets in each of the classes where if we had to go to a lockdown to make the makeshift bathrooms, all of that, you know, they don't have to go through that. We review that with the site each year, and then we update some of the materials in the buckets because, you know, it is a middle school, things go missing.
I do think that teachers, that they're going to do muscle memory when it comes to somebody intruding or whatever that it happens to be. They're going to react. They're not going to look for their plan.
Yeah.
But they've read it. They've been trained in it. They know what's happening. And so they're going to go with what they know. And we all know that plans are as good as they are on a piece of paper. It's really the way the adult reacts when something actually, God forbid, does happen.
The other piece you can think of, Taylor, is that plan is the comprehensive plan, but each